Hey, second Sunday in the second week in this year, 2020. Man, and here we go. You know, we've heard people talk about carpe diem. Everybody knows what carpe diem is? Seize the day, man. Seize the day. But, you know, we're more about than just seizing one single solitary day. We're about carpe vitam, which is seize the life. Seize the entire life, every second, every minute, every moment, and every day of this incredible life that God brings to us, for us to seize it and to grasp it and to be blessed by it and to engage it as it comes to us. We just accept it as a gift and we step into it and just rejoice of what it is each and every moment. You know, but to seize the life that God has for us, we have to be willing to be the person that God wants us to be in order to receive it, right? We have to be that man who stands alone in a crowd. We have to be that young lady who won't get persuaded by popular consent. We have to, at a time when the world is all about whatever we can take from it, we have to be about a people who are willing to give into this world everything that God has given us. To give our lives away to others so that others might also have the possibility of one day knowing this life of a Christian and giving their lives away to God and to others as well. We've got to be carpe vitam. And we've got to live it all for God. And just as God is calling you to be this year, He is calling us to be as a church. This past Wednesday night, we were at our community group Vandervoort, hanging out full. We were there in the space there at their home. And we sit in a circle, and what we do each week is we go around the circle and sort of reconnect. Share what awesome thing that has gone in our life the week before, and we had a lot to catch up on because we hadn't met in 2 weeks because of the holidays and New Year's and everything. So we were going around the circle, and JoJo came to JoJo's turn. Now, a lot of you all may not know JoJo. She goes to our conversational English groups. She comes to our Wednesday night community group Vandervoort. She is an incredible young woman who became a Christian in a church in Beijing. And she is sensing the calling of God in her heart in some way, shape, or form to go into full-time Christian ministry. And it was her turn to share what had taken place, and she began to tell us how over winter break that she went to a Midwest Chinese Christian conference in Chicago, where Chinese men and women from all around the Midwest came together in Chicago to be taught and discipled and to grow and to sing and to sing praises. And I said, well, JoJo, how many people were here? She said, 1,500. 1,500 Christian Chinese men and women just loving God. And she told her group, she said, it was wonderful. But she said there was one speaker that spoke to her heart more than any of the other speakers there. That as he was talking, she could not quit listening to each and every word that he said, and he was talking about the church. And then she said, he said these words I will never forget. He said that we are not to just go to church, we are to be the church. And he began to explain what that meant. And she said it just changed her whole perspective about going to church and actually being the church. I don't know about you, but growing up, I heard these. You ever remember these words? It's time to go to church. Come on, get ready. We got to go to church. Come on, we're late. We're late. We got to get ready to go to church. Anyone heard those words like that? I know I heard them at least two or three times a week. Got to go to church. Our children have heard him at least once a week. You know, Wesley hears, we've got to go to church. Amin says to Amir every day, every week, Amin says to Amir, got to go to church, and Amir tries to hide under the bed. And when I heard those words from my parents, I would try to hide under my bed. I would run the opposite direction. They were going to make me to go to church. You know, and it's this sense that church is a place that we go to, a building that, a space that we gather in once a week, and we go there so that we can do church. But church is not what we do in this space one day a week. Church is what we do all the other days of the week because we have gathered in this space one day a week. Church is where the people of God are doing the ministry of God in the world. There we go, Amir. And we do it. And in our passage today, we talked about last week, Jesus has come and died and been resurrected. It's shortly after he ascended back into heaven. The disciples were gathered in a space and praying and scared. The Holy Spirit broke out. People in Jerusalem from all over were gathered together. They began to speak, and everyone understood their words in their own language. And 3,000 people became Jesus followers in one day. Then they had 3,000 Jesus followers trying to figure out what in the world it meant to be a Jesus follower. What in the world it meant to be a people of God. What it meant to be a church. To be the church. And today we're going to pick up and try to learn with them how it is that we can be the church. In Acts chapter 2. Verse 42. And it says, these 3,000 new believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. They devoted themselves. They were all in. And devote means to adhere to one, to be constant, to be steadfastly attentive to. In the King James Version, it says, they continued steadfastly. Continued steadfastly. See, there's two parts. To continue is to not start and then stop. Continue is to begin and never stop. It is to do it for the entire lifetime. They continued, devoted themselves steadfastly, consistently. Not when, maybe I feel like being devoted to it today, or maybe next week, or I don't feel like it, or I'll do it when I have some time. Man, steadfastly is consistency of effort. Day in and day out. Week in, week out. Month in, month out. Year in, year out for a lifetime. And they continued. And they were steadfast. And they were together. And it says, they devoted themselves right out of the gate to the apostles' teaching. You see, the apostles had been with Jesus. They had lived their lives with Jesus, and now all these 3,000 new believers are trying to live their lives with Jesus, and they don't understand what in the world that means. So they had to go to the apostles to understand, what does it mean to live like a Christian? What is it now to do life with Jesus in our world? They were looking for advice from someone who had been there, done that. I don't know about you, but I'm always amazed when people try to go to get help from people who I don't really think are qualified to give them help. It's like it's everybody's choice, I get that, all right, but it's like when a couple goes for marriage counseling to a counselor that's never been married. Or like you go to get parenting advice from someone who's never had a child. Yeah, they may know the books and they may understand the principles, but man, unless you've been there, unless you've had to work it out with your spouse, unless you've had to deal with kids who are not always very respectful, man, unless you... I go to AutoZone a lot because I like to work on my cars. I mean, I always go there. I know them. They know me. I know there's some other stores right around Mattis, but I always go to them because we're good buds. But when I go in there and I need a part and I need to know, get some advice on how to put this part on my car, when I go to the counter, I don't go and try to ask help from that person who looks like they're just there to sell parts. I go find that person who looks like they have been there and done that. I look for the greasiest person there, the guy, you know, whose hands, you know, the woman, doesn't matter, male or female, it doesn't matter. I want to know that person and get advice from them who has been into the car, who's worked on it, who's gotten frustrated, who's gotten dirty, who specifically worked on my car and my model, because they know what they're talking about. They've actually experienced it. Therefore, I go to them to get their advice because I believe they're the ones that could help me get done what I want to get done with my car. And these new believers, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to live life with Jesus? Well, let's devote ourselves to these disciples who had lived with Jesus and help us understand what it is so we can live with Jesus too. And they devoted themselves constantly, steadfastly, continually to the apostles' teaching, but also to the fellowship, to the koinonia, to the community. You know, Jesus said, you know, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever would lose their life for my sake will find it. And the way we lose our life for Jesus is by giving our lives away to others. But we have to have others to give our lives away to. And the others that we give our lives away to, we begin with in the community. We have each other's back. When we're in trouble, we need to be able to know that the rest of the community will be there for us, and we'll be there for them. We were at the Ross's on Friday night, hanging out, having a good time. I think it was about, Cindy, what time was it? About 10:30? I mean, I don't know. I get a phone call. 10:30. It's Bill Lawless. Bill Lawless, a lot of you know Bill Lawless. He's involved in our ministry and things like it. He calls at 10:30. I said, Bill Lawless? He goes to bed at 8 o'clock. Why is Bill Lawless calling me at 10:30 at night? I mean, he's older than I am. And I know he's never late. He's calling me at 10:30 at night. He was on the corner of Prospect and Devonshire, and his transmission went out. And I don't know if you remember what Friday night was like, but it was rainy, it was cold, it was nasty. Well, it wasn't so cold, but it was rainy and windy and everything. Who's he call? He calls us. He calls us, the community, for help. And Dave was there, and Dave and I going to get in the car, and Amir and Amin, everybody wanted to get in the car with us. And they said, no, hey, young man, we got this. We're good. We can handle it. But everybody, the whole community was ready to go help Bill in his car. They devoted themselves to community. And we get halfway over there, and he calls and said, hey, don't worry about it. A man and his wife stopped to help me. And Dave and I are thinking, I said, okay, I hope the man and his wife did not push Bill's car. You know, I hope Bill and the man pushed the car and his wife steered the car. This guy's wife steered the car off the road, you know, into a parking lot there by the church. They devoted themselves to the apostle teaching. They devoted themselves to each other, the community, man, brothers and sisters. That's a term we don't use much anymore. brothers, sister. Man, we're family. We're community. Into the breaking of bread. You know, there's always been a great debate, this breaking of bread. What does this mean? Does it mean they broke bread and had just a meal together? They were always having meals together? Or does it mean they celebrated communion together? They always were having communion together. And we believe the answer is both. That as the example that Jesus set with his disciples, that they first had a meal, then at the end of the meal, they had communion. I know for us, we have it part of our worship experience. We come in this space and we make it part of our experience to remember back what Jesus has done for us. But I wonder if maybe sometime we would have just a big church meal. And maybe we would have it with our brothers and sisters in the Chinese church. And after the meal is complete, then we give pause. And we take a loaf of bread and we break it. And we pass it around. And we take the cup and we have communion. And we take that together, devoting ourselves to the breaking of bread, to the body, to the Jesus who came and gave his life for us. And they devoted themselves to the teaching, to the community, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Constant attention in being with and listening to Jesus through prayer. You know, of all the things they devoted themselves, I think probably prayer was the hardest. And I think that's hardest for Christians as well. You know, we like to do stuff. You know, to devote ourselves to teaching, that's doing something. To the fellowship, that's doing something. To the breaking of bread, that's doing something. But prayer is not about doing something. Prayer is about being. It's about placing yourself in a position of quiet, of stillness. It's to open your hands and allow yourself to receive. You know, if we want to live our lives like Jesus, we've got to spend time listening to Jesus, to the Jesus we're trying to live our lives after. And they spent time in prayer. But all these things, the teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer, all these things were showing their unwavering devotion to the God who just had saved them through his son Jesus. Verse 44. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. All right, you see, their devotion to God led to their commitment, committing themselves to each other. All right, and we read this, and a lot of times we get wrapped up around the words, and they had everything in common. And the first thing my mind goes to, I don't know what your mind goes to, but mine goes to material things, right? Possessions. That's what my mind goes to. They had everything in common. All right. And so we think everybody possessed everybody else's stuff. But I think if we get hung up at that point, we miss the magnitude of what had taken place here, this incredible experience that had brought them together and formed this community of faith. You know, the Holy Spirit moved, Pentecost happened, and 3,000 believers became Christians. And they formed a community out of this incredible experience. Now let's think about this a second. When communities, organizations form, do they just form a group first, and they get together, hey, let's form this group, and they all get together, hey, we've got this awesome group, we're so cool. All right, then they decide what they want to do. Hey, we got this awesome group. All right, now what are we going to do with this awesome group that we've got formed here? What are we going to do with this community? What's our purpose going to be? Hey, everybody, what do you think? Let's take a vote. What is that how groups form? Is that how movements start? All right, some movements, some groups start like that, but they don't last very long. You know, they try to form a group, then they come up with a purpose. But from my experience, it is the purpose that comes before the group. It is the cause that creates a fire, a passion in people. And it so consumes them, and it's so overwhelming that they realize that unless they do this thing, purpose together, that they cannot and will not accomplish it. And these 3,000 brand new believers, they had experienced something they never experienced before. They had everything in common. They had one God who loved them. They had a common Jesus who died for them. They had a common faith that changed them. They had a common Holy Spirit that inspired them. They had a common hope and a common future. And out of this, having everything in common, that they were, all the believers were together, and having every, and had everything in common, and selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. You hear that word is repeated here? Together. Together. All the believers were together. Every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. One God, one Jesus, one faith, one Holy Spirit, one hope, one future. And this led to a community that had a common purpose to change the world. But their purpose was so overwhelming, they realized they could not do it each person by themselves. They would only be able to do it as the church together. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Because they devoted themselves to God, and because they committed themselves to each other, they became this thing called the church. And through the church, God began to change the world. And just like those brand new believers in that brand new church, this year we're going to devote ourselves to God. And we're going to devote ourselves to each other so that through us, God can continue to change His world. And this year we're going to be the church as we worship together. We're going to be the church as we do conversational community group eating together. We're going to be the church as we do community group Vandervoort together. We're going to be the church as we do conversational English groups together. We're going to be the church as we do Temple Baptist hangouts together. We're going to be the church committing ourselves to God and committing ourselves to each other. To be the church so that through us, God can continue to do what He sent His Son Jesus Christ to do, which was change each and every person on this world. Carpe vitam! Carpe vitam! Man, you ready? You ready? Seize this life. Dear God, who is formed out of a purpose, out of a cause, 3,000 people came together and devoted themselves to You and committed themselves to each other. And then You came in and with them and began to change the world through them. And dear God, we've heard this morning how the world desperately needs to be changed. So this year, help us to be more than we've been before. Help us to love You more than we've loved You before. Help us to be with each other more than we've been with each other before. So that we can see people come to the kingdom in numbers that we have never witnessed before. And know that it's because we decided to be the church. Dear God, we've gathered here now. Now we go out into the world to change it. Let us be willing and ready to do that, exactly that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.